This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Curtis Brown, hours away from the home opener here at KeyBank Center. Welcome in at Sabres Live. We will do our best to not repeat the steps of yesterday, which were clearly not of our own doing. Marty, I witnessed yesterday what appeared to be a historic day of technical failures in television sports broadcasting. Did you witness any of those as well? Because I saw it in hockey, I saw it in MLB, and obviously we battled to overcome yesterday just to get through an hour here at KeyBank.
Yeah, those days happen. Duffer.
They do.
You get good days, you get bad days. We didn't make it to our first commercial break yesterday. We're going to try to, you know, play it in shorter segment. Let's not focus on the whole show. Let's just focus on the first segment of this show and try to get it to our first commercial break.
So
that's the key.
My favorite capper for the day was Fernando Tatis doing his walk-off interview on FS1, all of a sudden the interviewer, you know, play-by-play guy is like, I can't hear him, and Tatis is like this, and I'm like, okay, this is the full 12 hours of sports broadcasting that has gone.
It happened. So, okay, 37 hours away from puck drop.
You figured that out. Good math, buddy.
You know, in an hour we'll be Pat Coletta hours away from.
Yeah, but we'll be off the air by then, which is why I don't have to mention him.
Well, we'll be maybe Pat Coletta plus, like 36 and a little bit more.
Let me just say this about Pat. Pat needed a little boost of confidence and optimism and hope when we saw him at the watch party on Saturday, because his beloved Mets were going into battle with the Phillies. I'm like, dude.
They're up 2-1
now.
I'm
like, dude, this is not a major hurdle for these Mets, and they could have easily swept them by now.
Yes.
Easily swept them. They are that good and rolling that well. So good for Pat. He's enjoying the moment.
All because of Grimace. He threw out the first pitch, and it changed the Mets season. And so I think we have to find...
Nothing changed at the start of the season.
No, not the first pitch of the first game.
Okay.
He threw out the first pitch, like... into the season, and they went on a streak after that, and they never looked back. Okay. I'm saying
this after one of their pitchers called them out as the worst team in baseball.
That was
so
bad.
That might have been a turning point also.
That was also a turning point. I feel like we have to find our grimace. I know it's only two games in now, and tomorrow
don't
is the
home
opener.
Don't you see that every day looking at me?
Well, you're not as purple as Grimace is. Some days
I'm
you could be.
I'm freezing all the time. Okay, so maybe the skin color is blue and not purple.
It hasn't gotten to that yet. But okay, so let's find our grimace for tomorrow, and we ask on X right now to our fans here, what, and I'm going to read it, what will you be keeping an eye on tomorrow night?
Two things, Paterka and Benson, obviously.
Well, that is a big thing. We kept an eye on for them today,
yes,
and they were on the ice, so that's a good news for both of them. A lot of the responding comments are Jack Quinn, the offense. Mm-hmm. I think there's a theme here. I watched NHL, first North American day of NHL last night and afternoon. You know, offense in bursts, right? Like Florida offense, boom, boom, boom. They're up 4-1 on Boston after one. St. Louis Blues.
How did it feel to be wrong about Verhaeghe again?
About what?
Because I asked you like 3 weeks ago and you said he won't be there.
I didn't think he'd be there.
Now he's got eight times seven,
yes.
So...
I didn't think he'd be there because I didn't think Florida was going to be able to open the door for Verhaeghe and the money. But you know what?
Cap's going up. They look at their situation now. It is rosy beyond belief. They could still do Ekblad,
yes,
if they want. They are going to be 100% fine, and they will be
they
here on Saturday.
They probably won't do Bennett, though. They did Verhaeghe.
Did you watch last night's game?
They need him.
Of course they're going to keep
but
Bennett.
But he's going to want a lot of money.
Who cares?
Well, anyway, it's not my problem. It's Bill Zito's problem in Florida.
And guess what? Bill Zito has zero problems.
No, he doesn't have any problem. He is enjoying it. Florida, but offense in, you know, burst. Like, mm-hmm, go out there and score 2, 3, 4 goals in a period in 2 minutes. St. Louis was down 2-0. All of a sudden, a minute 55 later, they're up 3-2.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it was. Look at Utah Hockey Club, first period, boom, boom. Like, they just kept coming. Chicago tried to recover, but to me, if you look at the Sabres' first two games in New Jersey against New Jersey in Prague, but I also don't want to focus too much on that, different circumstances, travel and all of that. But when you start strong, or when you push and push and push, at some point, mm-hmm, things are going to open, right? Things are going to – St. Louis pushed late, but they pushed and things opened up a little
bit. Second period.
Yeah. First period, they were not there.
Neither team was. That was hilarious because just like we were asking 2 weeks ago, the ESPN telecast is like, why are we playing on a Tuesday afternoon? And it was true.
What?
It was like a dud of a start to the game. And,
I mean, it was Ray Ferraro.
It's a valid question.
Ray Ferraro commended that he would do two games on opening day. So they had to do an early game in Seattle so he could travel to Salt Lake City and go do the game at night for the Utah Hockey Club. That's the only time they did not have technical issues. They had a camera in his car service from the airport filming him as he was going. It was kind of funny, though, because everybody was making comments. John Buchagross made comments, just like Gord Miller has made comments, how Ray always forgets something when he travels, mm-hmm, forgetting a passport, forgetting a computer, forgetting a suit. So they all made comments that Ray probably left some things in Seattle. By the time he got to Salt Lake City, he was going to have something he was calling on to get back because he was going to forget it.
So you're focused on bursts. So how does that pertain to the Sabres and practice today and new power play units and the fact that Paterka and Benson are potentially in? We'll keep the update coming from Lindy Ruff here, hopefully before the end of the show. And we're also eyeing a Ryan McLeod appearance,
yes,
on set here.
Well, okay, burst. If you want consistency in your game so you can have these bursts of offense one line after the next, mm-hmm, it's a lot easier when your lines stay the same. Now, Lindy Ruff mentioned yesterday how, you know, three injuries in Europe on three different lines, so everything was changed. He had to put people into different situations that they hadn't really worked on that in training camp. You got your lines and you're working from the start of training camp that way. Now, if Benson comes back, well, it's Benson, Cousins, Quinn. Okay, you're lining together. If Paterka comes back, it's Paterka, Thompson, Tuck. Mm-hmm. That line's together. You can move Greenway back with McLeod and Zucker, so that line is together. The only line that gets affected is, you know, with Obi Kubel out, probably, most likely, Krebs between Malenstein,
yes,
and Lafferty. So that that's the only thing that would be affected. So now you can start to push in the same way that you prepared for in training camp, which was affected in the first two games of the season.
As far as the power play, which you touched on yesterday, like there's multiple layers of examination here before they actually get to perform a shift together in game against, I mean, presumably they're going to get a power play tomorrow against the LA Kings. One can never be too sure of this, but looking at power play one and seeing Zucker on it.
Yes.
And seeing the two defensemen in Dahlin and Power together on it. And having a little bit more time to digest and process after you know, mentioned it on the show yesterday, some of which may have been heard, may not have been heard. A day later, like, is there some sort of kind of light bulb that goes, I think I know why they're doing this even more, or there's more layers to this, or at the end of the day, is it sports and it's so brutally simple that it doesn't require exhaustive cross-examination?
Well, I mean, we are going to use all of our energy and time to dissect all of it. I think the biggest thing, and I mentioned yesterday, and I will, thinking about it again last night and today when I watched them on the ice, they did not work on breakout a lot today from what I saw at practice. It was more in zone. Okay, yesterday was a lot of breakouts, a lot of let's come up the ice, let's try to establish possession in the offensive zone, and let's do that. Now, today was more about the in zone, something they did not get to work on in the first two games of the season because they were never in zone.
Despite their
70%
exactly getting
zone entry,
getting across the blue line,
past 10 feet inside the blue line.
Right.
But for me, it's still the same thing. If you have Power and Dahlin on the top power play, it's because you are going to work a different breakout, a different way to enter the zone. So now today we work on in zone. But I was watching Zucker in the bumper position, right? So they were working the bumper position.
Less
on the off-wing one-timer, right? More of, because you got two defensemen. So, and they're both lefties. So you're going to have Dahlin and Power maybe more up top and right flank, and Thompson on the left flank. So you put Zucker in the bumper. He can interchange with Cousins, but Cousins was more the net front, and Zucker was more in the bumper.
Yeah. So this is, again, rather not be talking about it because it would have been awesome if they went 4-for-6 in the season opening two games and would have emerged with a greater record against the New Jersey Devils. But one thing that we mentioned going into one of or both of those games was the fact that if you do at any point tweak the defense pairs to create more offense, what we have seen at 5-on-5 over the course of Owen Power's time is when he is paired with Dahlin. Remember I mentioned this?
Numbers,
the dramatic difference in goals for and goals against at 5-on-5. So it's only natural then that you would think, even though we live in a one-defenseman world for most number one power plays, it's understandable that you would try, like you would in a 6-on-5 late game situation, to take advantage of how these two may play off of each other in an advantageous situation, right?
And a lot of people will say, okay, well, if Power and Dahlin are in the same power play, why don't you just roll them back on their 5-on-5 because they're coming off together? Mm-hmm. Byram goes on for the second unit. But I think what Lindy Ruff and the way that he's looking at it is, okay, if we have Dahlin and Power in the first unit and the second unit finishes, then we can go Dahlin Power, we can go Dahlin Jokiharju, and or we can go even Samuelson Clifton and come back with your big guys. Like, there's a lot of options there because they're both on the different units. I'm not really concerned about how do you transition out of a power play with your defense pair. It's a lot easier because there's only three pairings. So, you know, you pick whatever's there and you send them out.
Yeah.
When I look at both power play units yesterday, it shocked me, the change, because it was just two games. But it was really bad with the power play. Mm-hmm. So what they did is they changed a lot of things. Now, with Benson and Peterka back at practice, I was interested to see if maybe Peterka was going to go back to power play number one instead of Zucker. And maybe if... first of all, where does
and Tuck is on unit two here too?
Tuck is on unit two,
which you cited yesterday also,
which was on unit one the first time. Mm-hmm. But now you have two defensemen. But I was focusing on Peterka, and I think having Peterka take reps on the second power play unit basically tells me, no, this is not a oh, well, we had injuries, that's why we switched the power play. No, this is, our power play was not good, and I'm not going to wait until it continues to bleed out. I'm going to put a Band-Aid and a stitch and perform surgery right now so that it changes right away. A lot of the offense and the confidence that this group took from 2 years ago was because of power play success early in the season. And it built up for the rest of the year. Even though the power play after Christmas 2 years ago dried out, at least the offense had confidence from the start of the year. You can't wait a month before you change the power play units because it was really that bad in the first two games.
Kings are in tomorrow here at KeyBank Center. We have seen some incredibly fun games against LA in recent memory, so we're hoping that continues. But I do want to say this, and tip of the cap, and sometimes I even amaze myself with my decision of wardrobe on a daily basis, unknowingly, but I felt compelled to put the Rochester cap on today, only to find out that Nick Nixon, Rochesterian, who started his hockey broadcasting career with the Amherst, Hall of Famer Nick Nixon, by the way, is entering into his final season of NHL broadcasting with LA, so it's super fitting that he starts the season here. Nick is an unbelievably nice person, and it is fantastic that he gets to kick off his 44th season with the Kings right here in Buffalo, because I know it's always super. He never doesn't mention how excited he is to come home. And obviously, as you've been talking about, the Kings have been east for a while, so I feel like Nick's probably got a little extra time to be able to ramp up to the season around family and friends. So good
for
Nick.
They've been east for a while, and I'm sure the Kings are eager to get their season started. The Sabres are eager to put the last two games behind them and say, hey, you know what, let's start the season now, as Kramer would say in Seinfeld, and with the gesture too, like, okay, forget, it was scary the first two games, let's start it now, but let's keep an eye on Paterka and Benson, because that really makes a big difference in how the lines, who's going to be there, how we perceive the speed of the game, and that Benson was one of the best players in the first game in Prague against the Devils, the way he protected the puck, the way he worked down low, the preseason was the same way.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I pause in the midst of, you know, mentally pause while you're saying that is knowing full well that clearly he wasn't even right during the first game. So that, you know, physically, because that's how Lindy addressed it the next day, saying that it had been building throughout. So that's a big difference. Like, if you can get him back to what he can be at 100%, and I don't know how hard that is. And I know you can't speak to
him. He didn't skate since last Friday.
Until
was
today,
the game,
right?
So he's taken like almost a full week,
as far as full team practice and stuff like that. Yeah. So, again, I guess you're fortunate right now that you've got Thursday, Saturday at home, nothing until the following Wednesday, right? But then you go back-to-back Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday for three games in 4 days on the road. But if there's an opportunity to rest enough, you know, to try to be closer to full health, which Darlene, by the way, says he is now. So if it's his words, then, you know, we have to certainly assume moving forward.
Why should we doubt it? He's always been
right. But I don't think his performance dictated 100% Rasmus Dahlin over in Prague. Do you?
I also think that what we saw to Rasmus Dahlin is somebody that missed on a lot of preseason and training camp, which was already a different type of preseason and training camp, so maybe a step behind than what we would see out of Dahlin. I was watching him at practice today. Him and Bo Byram, it's kind of funny because they don't play together. They're not on the same power play, but every time the drills were ending, they would sprint towards the net with one puck. They'd give it back to one another. They'd shoot. I'd be like, I want to play them on the same line, not as defensemen, as forwards. I want them with, like, Tage Thompson, Dahlin, and Byram on the line. Now, that's a crazy idea. It's not going to happen. But I feel like Dahlin had some excitement in his step at practice today. And a lot of players are kind of gearing towards that, which, fortunately, we didn't see in the first two games out in Europe.
Obviously, teams do, though, try to put their top pairs out there with top lines to create an even more advantageous offensive situation. Do you sense that that should be, from our chairs, a focal point on Thursday? And do you think the coaches...
Who's your top pair? Dali and Jokic, are you?
Well, I mean, technically, yes, based on how they're practicing right now. But based on our earlier discussion, I still think 26-25 might be worth a revisit if you're trying to ignite the offense.
Like, Lindy Ruff is going to try. He said something after the Saturday game in Prague. I'm still figuring out this team. I'm still figuring out, like, how do they work best? Mm-hmm. And you don't want to take 15, 20 games to figure it out.
Right.
You'd like to take 5 to 10, you know, like 5, 6, 7 games to say, okay. But this LA Kings team kind of brings a fun challenge is, okay, who do you focus on? Because Anze Kopitar is probably going to try to match up with Tage Thompson every time he's out there. So are you saving Rasmus Dahlin to match him up against Quentin Byfield and Kevin Fiala and say, okay, we're going to do our own internal match, but just with the defense? Or are you saying we want Dahlin and Power or Yukiariu or whatever to play with Tage Thompson, which means that now you're playing against Anze Kopitar? I think there's got to be a separation between the two of them. My time with the New York Rangers was always Dan Girardi, Ryan McDonough, and it didn't matter who the forwards were on the ice. They had their matchups, and the matchups only came from the back end. The forwards, okay, if it happens that we have a better matchup in certain situations, great. But we want to match up our back end with their top player. So I'm looking at Dahlin and whoever he plays with. Who do you want to focus Dahlin on? Is it on Kopitar or on Byfield? That's the answer right
there. Yeah, I mean, I would think Byfield at this point. But, again, that remains to be seen, right? I mean, there's a reason all of them are in the NHL, and they can all burn you at any time.
Philip Deneau and Trevor Moore and Tanner Janot is not bad
either. That's team-leading goal scorer, Trevor Moore, right? Like, so,
preseason, yes.
No.
Oh,
last year.
Yes,
that's what
right.
I mean.
Oh, like, yeah, I got to go back to my team of the day. Where was the LA Kings?
But this is the point, like, all kidding aside, like, Anze Kopitar is not rolling in here tomorrow and posting another -6, which was a career worst, right? Like, I mean, he's still a super. I know, but it's impossible to believe. Like, when you're sitting here, like, remembering, choosing to forget in some cases, you know, moments along the way, like, you want to park the two games the Sabres just had with the Devils, just like Anze Kopitar was able to park a career-worst -6 and still end up having a terrific season, as you would expect, because he's Anze Kopitar.
And I'm looking at last season from our team of the day, right? Trevor Moore at 31 goal. Adrian Kempe was good. The Kings' defense was excellent. Their goals against last year.
But the absence of Doughty changes how we're going to view the Kings.
And they got a new goaltender in Darcy Kemper. And that's, you know, a lot is going to be put on him. So I'm interested in that. Obviously, they had the coaching change last year. So, yeah, I think for me, Quentin Byfield is your focal point on the LA Kings. But you can't sleep on Trevor Moore and Philip Deneau and Tanner Janot because I think that third line, and we're going to have Ryan McLeod here, but McLeod, Zucker, and Greenway may end up being in that situation where they're going to be paired or, you know, facing that third line for LA a lot.
Paterka and Benson back at practice today for the Sabres. They feel like they're doing well, that they feel good. It's a good day, according to Coach Lindy Ruff, as far as their status is concerned. And now it's wait and see how they respond to the practice today and whether they'll be in tomorrow. But obviously, we have plenty of time to wait for that. Tell you what, we're going to take a quick time out here, remind you that obviously the home opener is about, what did you say, 26 and a half hours away now. So we will look forward to seeing you here at Key Bank, not only tomorrow, but on Saturday as well. The defending Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers are in. All you got to do is hit up sabres.com/tickets to join us and make sure you're here early tomorrow. Hope the sun is shining exactly how it is now.
Beautiful.
As the players walk in around 3:45 on the blue and gold carpet. Back after this on Sabres Live.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter. And Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back. Sabres Live. Featuring the walking contradiction. That would be me, because, of course, I do nothing but remind people of how sometimes sports broadcasting can really get to me, and I'm the first person to hit mute. So, we were just graced with the presence of probably my favorite broadcast crew in the NHL, with Jim Fox and Darrell Evans walking through, with the Hall of Famer Nick Nixon completely ignoring us. He must not have heard the kind words I said about him earlier. I know he was in conversation. But yes, honestly, that's the beauty of this kind of world we live in, is when you do get the opportunities to even briefly just catch up with some of the best people. Look, Foxy and Bob Miller worked together for so long on Kings broadcast that, you know, I just, it's like everyone here in Western New York, RJ became this voice that was shared in your family, right? And I feel like, because I've always stayed up watching the Kings games, that it feels the same way.
They put you, they tuck you in at night because they're.
You could say they put me to sleep, but nothing really puts me to sleep.
Well, when I was watching the games yesterday, Duffer, which, by the way, we saw a win from the Panthers, the Blues.
Bite your tongue, no Bruins win.
The Utah Hockey Club.
By the way, has it never been more apparent? And it was night one, so I get it, but. Get a nickname already. It's brutal for broadcasters when you have to keep seeing the same. Well, they don't even say that, because it's not like soccer where you are something FC. Like,
yeah,
they're not really the hockey club. Like, it's just a placeholder. You know what I mean? Like,
you can't because even you, say Utah
you,
HC.
You, exactly, because you know it's changing, yeah. Right? So it just the repetition of the word Utah was very jarring last night. It was like,
and you don't want to say hockey club because if you say, yes. Well, this was a good period for the hockey club, which one? Which one are you talking
That's a
about?
Very fair point.
So you can't say hockey club.
Yes.
So you have to say Utah hockey club.
And then it was made
Utah.
More awkward because, and I get the, you know, the accuracy of what they're trying to create here. You're constantly being told this is a new franchise.
Because
they are.
Yes.
And it's not, you know, but every single player on this brand new franchise has a history with the exact same franchise, which is now not the same franchise.
Well, for people at home that don't know this, like if Atlanta moved to Winnipeg, they brought the Atlanta Thrashers numbers and historical numbers to the Winnipeg franchise. Mm-hmm. But Arizona moving to Utah, they basically said, no, Arizona, if you get another franchise, we will keep the Arizona Coyotes numbers and everything in your
Not
history.
Not to mention the previous Winnipeg Jets numbers.
The previous Winnipeg Jets. But nothing is transferring over to Utah. So this was technically the first game in the NHL for the Utah Hockey Club. Not like Colorado's first game.
Correct.
Which had Quebec from 79 until 95 mm-hmm. as a historical point. So Dylan Gunther, the first goal in the history
first
of the team.
First two-goal game in the history of the
but
team.
They played together for
I
the
know.
Last like, many, many
he
years.
He played a long enough time with them so, to get himself an eight-year contract extension.
I was watching the games yesterday, and I was kind of paying attention to some of the sand that were being used, because I always like that as an analyst and, you know, whatever. And what P.K. Subban said after the first period between the Boston Bruins and the Florida Panthers made me laugh mm-hmm. because of the way he said it. And I know the expression, but I never really related it to sport in a way. And he said, sometimes you're the bug and sometimes you're the windshield. Mm-hmm. He goes, the Boston Bruins were the bug in the first period and the Panthers were the windshield. And mm-hmm. I laughed because I had just done 20 hours of driving the previous 2 days. And I had a full windshield of bugs.
Of Boston Bruins?
Of Boston Bruins. I'm like, hey, I was the Florida Panthers driving down the 401 and the 90, and I hit a lot of Boston Bruins along the way.
That's really good. Yeah.
But that was the case. The Florida Panthers,
and
we
I
got them
it.
On Saturday here. So
they're
I know
awesome.
We're talking LA Kings tomorrow, but Florida was a train charging down the railroad track in that game.
And in typical pro sports / NHL fashion, even with their dominance for a large portion of the game, it became interesting at the end because that's what happens nowadays, right?
Like Jim Montgomery blew it by not putting Swayman in?
No, I would have never, ever risked after signing him to throw him into that mess in the first game.
I say, if he had been ready to play, they would have started
He could have told you all day long that he's ready to play, but I would never, especially with the way the game started and how it looked in the second period.
They were getting walked all over, right?
Right, so, and yet they were two shots away from going bing-bing, and they're right in it, and easily could have come back and tied the game. I mean, that's just the nature of it right now.
This bug. It better be a windshield and knock that thing
clearly,
out.
I don't know what I am right now.
anyway, the Bruins, and I've said it for most of the summer, I think the Bruins are taking another step back. Now, they battled, and, Pastrnak scored a lucky power play goal, so he's got his first goal of the season, and, you know, they made it 5-4, and ended up being 6-4. Okay, they made it 6-4, right?
6-4,
it was already, And Chicago battled back in the game. Mm-hmm. They were down 3-0. They make it 3-2.
Yep.
It ends up 5-2. Which,
empty netter and then another.
You know how much I hate that extra goal, right?
Yeah, I was just bummed that the empty netter didn't turn out to be the winner because that's usually how I like to roll.
If you give up an empty net goal and it's 4-2, you better defend like you've never defended before if you're in your zone because your goalie's going back in and he gave you a chance to win and they give up a Lawson Crowe's deflection and it just sucks.
I know.
Giving up that fourth goal against, which makes it 5-2, is just awful.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm thinking about that broadcast?
No.
After the first period, I don't know if I've ever seen Mark Messier more excited, other than hoisting the cup with the Rangers and jumping up and down like a five-year-old. Yeah. I don't know if I've ever heard him try to articulate with the excitement that he was trying to talk about this brand-new franchise and how good everything has been for Utah on night one. And the cynic, dare I say, in me is just like, calm down, Mark. Yeah. It's Chicago they're playing.
Yeah, well...
Like, and that's
you know
not
what I was
all,
thinking about?
All due respect to the Hawks, but like they clearly had not figured anything out in the first period of new lines. And look, they had a ton of offseason change, right?
I was like,
yes, full credit to Utah, but Chicago did not provide much of an opposition here in period
I pulled it up,
one,
and so. I'm going to pull it up again. I want to say that Chicago didn't even get to a half goal expected in the first period yesterday. That's how bad
then,
offensively
then they should
were
have had again. Five in the first 5 minutes of the second and just kept missing nets and hitting posts, and it was like, wow, they are having some tough luck here. But
yeah, no, Chicago was about a 0.4 expected goals in the first period yesterday, mm-hmm. which is, you know, multiply that by three, you're not even at a 1.5 goal expected in the game. Now, I get the whole, you know, Utah, they had to pay $1 billion plus to get the franchise in or whatever. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that is a phone call that Ryan Smith, the owner of the Utah Hockey Club, said to the league, like, hey, our first game, like, Chicago's a big market, but they're also a bad team. It'd be great if Chicago came into Utah the first game because that's going to allow us to get off to a good start,
come
right?
Come on.
You pay $1 billion, you can make a request.
Well, ownership did a really nice job, and, you know, kudos to ESPN being there the entirety of the day as kind of their studio location, which was outside in the plaza.
The blue carpet was cool.
Yeah, but just everything, you know, it does look jarring, as you described accurately on TV yesterday, when you don't have a normal lower arena bowl. Yep. It changes, you know, kind of how you visually see the game because, the lower corners are not customary to a typical NHL rink. But whatever, in time, that all gets sorted through. But Utah did join Buffalo last night as two of the eight post 1967 expansion teams to win their inaugural game in franchise history, which takes it all the way back to our point about the fact that, yes, this was treated as night one for a brand new franchise.
Yeah, and we'll keep an eye on Utah, like Clayton Keller, the captain of the team. By the way, this is the first time in a long time that all 32 NHL teams have a captain this season. The last one to be named was Seattle, who named Jordan Eberle their captain. All 32 teams now have a captain, which we haven't seen in a long time.
Do me a favor.
Never bring that up again because it doesn't matter.
Don't quiz me on them. That's all I ask. On the captains, yes.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I think I could probably name 28 out of 32. Let's do that. You know that game show? I can name that song in 10 notes. I can name that now. Let's see how many you can get.
So your big takeaway, I want to do this before we run out of time.
Yes.
Jeremy Swayman sat there on the bench with his new contract yesterday.
Yes.
8 times 8.25. His buddy, former Sabre, Linus Allmark, got his new deal today.
Yes.
4 years, 8.25. Joey Decord, he of 69 total NHL games and not even the season opening start yesterday, got 5 years, $5 million from the Kraken. So they have a large dollar figure invested in their goaltending tandem. And obviously with Decord, it's most interesting because he's 3 years older, less experienced than Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, and comes in at a higher salary for the next 5 years. So it pushes Luukkonen down the rankings, so to speak, if you're looking at it from a cap hit standpoint moving forward. And dare I say that amidst that number, which is not a huge number, it's roughly 15 goalies that are ahead of Luukkonen moving forward, like there's some very average netminders in that group. And I just wonder, as someone who lived the position for more than 500 games in an NHL career, are you somewhat underwhelmed by the state of number one goaltending in the NHL today?
I'm not going to say underwhelmed, but I do think that there is a bit of a a shift in the mentality, maybe in the shift in development, and maybe that's the COVID years that are catching up to those goalies that should be coming in and blowing the doors off, but didn't get the reps, the 50, 55 games during the COVID stopped season and the next year. And we're seeing that now 4 years later. Mm-hmm. So that's usually the cycles that come through. But I find it interesting that we try to compare goaltenders to quarterbacks in the NFL, saying, you know what, you need a good quarterback to win in the NFL.
Because they have a win-loss record, right?
And they impact the game. If you don't have that goaltender or that quarterback, you have to work so much harder to win a game.
Yep.
If you do, it's not the whole game, but it facilitates the results. Now, Swayman's an 8.25. Allmark's an 8.25. Sorokin's an 8.25.
And Shesterkin still wants way more than anyone.
Hellebuck's at 8.5. Mm-hmm. Bobrovsky's at 10. Carey Price at 10.5, not playing anymore. Shesterkin wants 11+. I was watching all the games yesterday, and I was trying to think, like, I get that quarterbacks should make all the money because technically they will play all 17 games if healthy, and they will score the majority of your points.
Mm-hmm. In some way, shape, or form, they will...
They will control the offense,
yep.
Goalies, at their best, will play 60 to 65 games in a regular season, mm-hmm. all the playoff games, and do not affect the offense one bit.
Right.
Well, they do in the way they play, the confidence that you give. But so I'm like, I get it why goalies have been historically between the 3.5 to 6. Mm-hmm. Right. We got a handful that are above 6, but there's John Gibson, and then there's the rest of them, right?
Well, that's what I mean. Like, we're looking at that list above Luukkonen now, which, again, I get it. I was pumping Joey Decord's year last year as much as anyone. But, like, you've got him and Korpisalo and Gibson. And, like, there's a lot of less than impactful over the last few years netminders who are in that top echelon.
GMs feel like Brisebois, Julien Brisebois, the GM of Tampa Bay last year, outspoken about, well, we know Vasilevsky is going to miss along the beginning of the season, but we didn't feel like we needed to go and get another number one type goaltender because everybody that's between 15 and 30, at some point, they're all interchangeable. 15 and 40, they're all interchangeable. That's how GM believes.
And they managed with JJ in goal.
Yeah.
And they made the playoffs.
Well, the question was asked to me yesterday about Levi looking good in training camp and preseason and in the first game of the year. And do you have a problem if Levi this year takes a massive step forward and gets a contract? And well, I'm like, I don't have a problem. Mm-hmm. But they're going to pay him. Like, if he has a fantastic year, the same as Luukkonen, you're still going to have two goalies at a total of $8 million when other teams are spending $9, $10, $11, $12 million on goaltenders. Mm-hmm. The cap's going up. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with that. But teams are okay with spending $3 to $5 million on goaltenders. It's when you got to get to the 8, 9, 10, 11. But that group of goalies that are 8, 9, 10, 11, they're a special group.
NHL tonight, Toronto at Montreal, Rangers and Penguins, Winnipeg at Edmonton, Calgary at Vancouver, Colorado and Vegas. Tomorrow, it's Buffalo home to LA. Home opener presented by the BFLO Store. We're back after this on Sabres Live here on WGR. Sports Radio 550 and MSG.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Home, home, home. Sabres, Amherst, Sabres. Next 3 days. Kings are here to face Buffalo at KeyBank.
Yep.
Thursday night. Amherst are home to Belleville on Friday at Blue Cross Arena. Florida Panthers here to take on the Sabres on Saturday. Allow me to remind you how excited I am and how excited you should be for the Amherst this season. Marty, let's just do this exercise real quick.
Okay.
Based on recent transactions, players going back to Rochester. This is potentially how they could line up at forward on Friday night against Belleville. Rusek, Helenius, Rosean.
Mm-hmm.
Murray, Oslin, Yopst.
Yep.
Neuchev, Kozak, Wahlberg. Slagert, Dunn, Warren. And then you have defense pairings. Four of them, Clegg and Komarov, Novikov and Metsa, Ryan Johnson and Rathbone, Poolman and Prowl. Like, holy depth.
I'm circling five or six guys already.
It's super cool. There's so much opportunity and ability to surround even the youngest guys with more veteran guys and the trust in position, i.e. down the middle, giving Hellenius and Oslin these opportunities to play their natural positions, right? I love this. I love this opportunity for Michael Leone.
I'm always good for a story of somebody that's not expected to perform at a certain level and comes through and does it, which is great. But I think Noah Oslin, Consta Alenius, Wahlberg, Roseanne, you got Ryan Johnson on the back end. Like, those are the guys that you have to keep an eye out of, because not only do I think it's going to be in the shorter term that those prospects will have an impact in Buffalo, but at any moment this season, they are going to get a chance and getting called up and play some games. And I think that's always the case around the National Hockey League. Somebody's got to come up and fill a gap and perform. And those players have really a lot of talent, and they're going to try to get it done in Rochester.
Yeah, and Sandstrom and Hauser, obviously the tandem now.
That
Reimer was claimed on waivers by Anaheim. So I think it's super cool for Michael to have, again, just continued his time in the organization. And now, I mean, the reality with the AHL, and maybe it's a blessing based on how critical mainstream media and others are about preseason play, they had a one-off, right, against Syracuse on Sunday. They won 7-1. They had incredible balance throughout. They had the tandem of Sandstrom and Hauser play. I'm looking forward to seeing Housecat once again shine for the Amerks. But just, you know, I know it was tremendous growth, I thought, in the optimism and appetite for the Amerks in Rochester the last few years under Seth Appert. And what has built now is a great opportunity to see, what we hope is close to a full house at Blue Cross Arena on Friday night, because this team is absolutely worth watching.
There's number 36 walking across the street here,
He's getting his pregame walking before the Mets this afternoon.
We're going to be 30 hours away from game time tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Today. Is that why I threw you off, because my math was off?
Yeah, the math was a little off, but that's okay.
I'm still in Europe.
You're on whatever, like Greenwich time or whatever. You're plus.
Dude, this is so par for the course that I have no clue.
No, but the show was an hour long, but it felt like seven, so that's good.
Okay, that's true, but we never know what day it is. You'll be happy to know, when I was at Electric City the other night seeing Mariana's Trench perform, that I think it was either Piao, who was the first opener, or Cassidy Pope was up there and was like, what day is it?
Yeah.
And started, it's always a thing in the music business. They're always a little bit more appreciative of, like, hey, thanks for coming on a Monday.
Yes.
Or
absolutely.
A Tuesday, especially when you're selling out the venue. But I of course got an immediate chuckle. I'm like, I have no clue. I can't help you with that answer.
Which, by the way, Chibuzi? Is that Chibuzi?
I did not get to see the Chibuzi performance. Did you catch
any of it? I caught it on ESPN and a little tipsy. And I was like, oh, yeah, I know that song. Which was a different spin on the genre, because it was a DJ and him.
Yeah.
There was not a band, like the whole thing. So, but he put on a good performance. I was like, okay, I that's the one song I know. I don't know that I can name you any other songs that he can perform. But that was good.
Prediction for tonight across the NHL on a five-game night.
Okay, so let me pull up my games here, because I have it. The Toronto Maple Leafs are going into Montreal. I think Toronto is a well-oiled machine. I think they're going to win that one. I'm going to say the Rangers are winning. I'm going to say Vegas is winning. Vancouver is winning. The Oilers are winning. That's it.
Yeah. I'm winning.
Why?
Because I'm going to see another concert.
Oh, well, yeah, good for you. but I'm also, I think yesterday I could have gone 3-3.
It's the natural follow-up there, not, oh, who, where?
No, I was going to say, I think yesterday I could have gone 3-3 with St. Louis. I think St. Louis is going to have a great year.
Yes.
With
they had
Florida
a great 2 minutes.
And with Utah. I'm all good. I think I could have gone 3-3 tonight. I think I'm going to be perfect. But it doesn't matter, because you're the one that's going to be perfect. You can't win or lose. Well, you can't lose. You can only win at concerts.
No scoreboards at concerts, is what I like to say, no matter how many hours. I hope I'm not late for the show if I'm that off on my timing.
What time is the show at?
I'm reluctant to say now because I don't want to mislead people. I'm a fountain of misinformation.
When is Paul Ford?
Yeah, I know. Don't even get me started.
It's in November. We're fine.
Is it?
Yeah, it's like the first Sunday of November.
Okay. Well, if you are looking for something to do tonight, and if you have not experienced the Ninth Ward at Babeville on Delaware, which is the basement to the beautiful church known as Babeville, it is acoustically perfect and a wonderful spot for an intimate show. So Robert Ellis will be performing there tonight, and I will try to keep the review of it tomorrow very condensed based on the fact that it is our home opener tomorrow.
Yes, so you got to focus on hockey. This is where it starts. The preparation starts the day before, not just the day off. So today, it's all I'm doing is I'm thinking about tomorrow, thinking about different situations, who's going to be on the penalty kill. I expect UPL to be in net for the Buffalo Sabres as he was in the starter's net yesterday and today. I'm thinking we're going to see Darcy Kemper on the other side. That's where I'm going at. That's where my head is at right now.
I think Stolarz will be the goaltender performer of the night across the NHL. That's my prediction. We will see you tomorrow on Sabres Live.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.